Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ dhammaṃ saṅghaṃ namassāmi. So I'd like to say a little bit about the place of thought and thinking in the practice. Sometimes we can be positive about thinking or negative about it. Particularly in Buddhist practice, sometimes we can not want to think anymore. I see thinking as a source of suffering. Take a stance against thinking, or we can take a position for it. Another way in which we can go out of balance is to take a position in favour of thinking, or a position against it. Another way in which we can, if we're good thinkers, then we can say, "Oh, it's all about thinking." Or if we're not very good thinkers, then we say, "Oh, it's not about thinking." That's how we can go a bit out of balance. Thinking has its uses, and you see in science how thinking has its uses, how it has benefited mankind one way or another, and how it's destroying mankind in one way or another. It's a tool, it can be seen as a tool. That it's the hand that uses it. That's the important thing, not the tool. The intellect can be a very powerful tool for the goodness of mankind, or a powerful tool to its destruction. So it's the same in Dhamma practice, that thinking can be a very good tool, or it can be a curse, depending on where it takes us. How do we find the right one? How do we take it in the right way, good way, good direction? So essentially, then the thinking mind then needs to be applied in a peaceful way. I mean, the mind needs to be both. Needs to be peaceful in order to think in a wise way. The mind, if it's hot, will be deluded, agitated, unreliable, whereas a cool mind is much more, a cool, open mind is more reliable. So we need to not just be aware of the contents of the mind, get attached to the contents of the mind, but see the quality of it, the quality of the mind, benevolent or not, hot or cool. So Buddhism, then, the passions are always seen as unreliable, untrustworthy. They tend to get out of control. So we have to be careful of them. Ajahn Chah would talk about this he says the passions we have an old friend who we either fall out with our old friend inside of ourselves like this. So you know, not being overly judgmental either. I mean, this has been our friend and helped us to find pleasure and happiness in life, and helped us to avoid the pain of life, and that the intellect in connection with the passions can be very good at this, can't it? You know, we can provide all the comforts for ourselves through science, avoid a lot of pain and suffering. This is good. Nothing wrong with this. This has a limitation, but it also can get out of hand, and and then fighting each other for these things, over these things. Well, when they're not really, not don't have so much value, ultimately they're worth fighting over. Because you always end up fighting over the sense pleasures, and your science can be so rational and always find the right answer, but it can also provide the weapons for us to fight for what we want. The passions hold sway over it, over our rational mind. This is much more recognised now in psychology, psychotherapy, that the influence of emotion is becoming much more out in the open. We'd be rather closeted and consider ourselves irrational beings, and yet we accept that our emotions can have a quite a radical effect on our thinking mind. And we recognise the limitations also of the thinking mind in terms of how far we can take it. In Buddhist practice, then the investigation of phenomenon without thought is the superior. It's the higher, it's the deeper, it goes deeper. So if people have any experience of this, then they'll see the limitation of the thinking mind and rational inquiry or study. Wanting to get beyond it. This says very clearly many, many times how the truths of Buddhism can't be understood just purely with the intellect. It can play a part, but it can't be understood completely by the intellect. You have to get past it, beyond it. And in Asian society, or Thai society particularly, then the downside of thought can be seen quite clearly. First in Thailand, then I saw a newspaper, there's a Thai newspaper, the headline with this lady sitting there with her head in her hands, and this headline, a Thai woman thinks too much and goes crazy like an American woman. So they associate craziness with thinking out of control, thinking taking over. Although they see the benefits of modern science and so on, then they see, well, it's okay, but if this thinking takes over the mind, then you'll go crazy. You could possibly trust this view if we realise that, that in terms of mental health, how the incidence of psychiatric problems in Thai society is extremely low, despite the fact that the medical model is very well established there. There are doctors who are very well aware of how these problems manifest. Then the incidence of conditions like psychosis and schizophrenia is tiny compared to that in the West, or depression, anxiety disorders, absolutely tiny. And we see how these days cognitive therapy and positive thinking is the one that is very successful compared to others. So previously, mental problems were much associated with emotions and emotional difficulty and pain of the emotions. Yet now that it seems that there's more recognition of thinking as can be the source of these. Obsessively thinking, as getting caught into thinking in a certain way, can take us to dark spaces. Thoughts that go round and round. A thought just on its own will tend to do this. It's the same, in spiritual practice we can try to think all these good thoughts and great benevolent things, and then if it just stays at the level of thought, and then we can watch how this will just turn around. We think of the heavenly realms, or or, you know, angels and all these, you know, lovely spiritual things, and then they see how these thoughts can just turn straight around into straight in from light to darkness. And doubt creeps in, or the thinking mind can just swing so quickly. For us to see how, you know, the thinking is just a part of the mind, it's something that arises and ceases within a larger frame. It's the nature of that frame that's the really important thing, the nature of our being, how we are, that will determine the result of those thoughts. This is what we need to look after, and then we can think all kinds of things. And they can have a benevolent effect on the mind. Thinking and feeling then is what we always associate with our internal world, and yet we miss the spirit, say, this word citta, which would be better to be translated as the spirit, which in Buddhism would say was the empty mind, or the container of all the others, the biggest of them, or a mindfulness which contains our thought and feelings, is bigger than our thoughts or feelings. This is a really important one. We can get in touch with this through our practice and cultivate our citta, our state of mind, a state of being. I get a new perspective on thought. Thought becomes something that we can use rather than that uses us, throws us around, confuses us. And we can use it and pick it up and use it like if we're good thinkers, then we can then pick it up and use it as an effective tool, and not to get too conceited about it. To think that this is the thing of the most value. So this also is a taming of thought, that it loses its central place in the mind. And it becomes just a tool, like a left and right hand of feeling and thought, the tools of the mind, rather than being the point of it all. So I'll offer this for your reflection.